Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to be in the house of God this morning. We thank God. We're going to ask you to stand up and let worship and praise our Lord in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the
shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies.
Bye.
Our great is our God. Let's lift up our hands in worship. Father, we thank you. We have come to return all the glory and honor unto you.
The poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong, and the poor say, oh, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong, and the poor say, oh, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me. I give thanks. Yes, I give thanks. Father, we give you praise. We bow ourselves before you in true humility, and we worship, giving thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, for health, for peace, for joy, for prosperity, for favor, for your goodness revealed unto us, that we're standing here in your presence, that we can lift up our voices and worship you and bless your magnificent name. Oh, Father, we thank you for life. Everlasting life, for the relationships that have been formed, for the grace that has been bestowed upon us, for strength and for energy, for the force of life, that we're able to eat and digest our meals, that we're able to walk around, that we are here, oh God, today on the last Sunday of 2025. Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, blind. But now I see. And end, come to thee, O glory and peace. Rejoice,
rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O glory and peace.
We receive your love. We welcome your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the work of transformation taking place in every life. Thank you, Lord, that you're crowning our year with favor. We receive favor from your God, and we receive favor from men. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Let's give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. You may be seated. Before Mama comes and lead us in our time of intercession, I want you to consider something very important. The Word of God says, the heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord, but the earth has He given to the sons of men. The Word of God says, God will do nothing. Amos 3:7. Except that he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Surely, he says, surely, for a fact, without a doubt, the Lord will do nothing. Some would say, the Lord will do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So, I want you to consider this. I know this to be the truth. Whatever God does in the earth, he does through man. Whatever God does in the earth, he does through man. When you pray for the blessing of God to come into your life, he does it through a man. Think about that. The Word of God says that people have entertained the angels unaware. God blesses you through people. Because the heavens, they belong to God. The earth, he has given to the sons of man. Your blessings in the hands of somebody. And today, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that the ones that God has elected and chosen to be a blessing, a conduit of blessing to you, locate you. That they find you. And that the willingness of heart to release that blessing and grace to you burn deeply within their spirit so that they have no other recourse but to do what God has called them to do. Amen? Amen? Now, understand that not only has God elected to you somebody to be a blessing to you, he has also elected you to be a blessing to somebody. So if you hold back, somebody listen. If you hold back in obedience to doing what God says you should do, it will be held back from you. That's not a swear. That is the truth. You reap as you what? Sow. If you want to be blessed, you got to be what? A blessing. If you want people to be thankful, you have to be what? Thankful. You reap the harvest you sow. Remember, your blessing is coming from the hands of a man. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature or influence, and in favor with what? God and what? Man. You've got to have both. Because when God favors you, he manifests that favor through people. So treat people with respect, with honor, knowing you don't know how God is going to bless you. Your diamond might look like a coal, but it's diamond. Don't toss it away. Ah, ugly. You might have just thrown away what God has ordained to be a blessing. Meanwhile, you're still praying. You're still praying. The blessing came and you threw it away. The blessing came and was looking at you and said, get away, you ugly face. But that ugly face is the blessing. Some would say, I am wise, I am discerning, and I will not miss the opportunities God, in His sovereign love, has bestowed upon me. I will receive my blessing and will be a blessing. I shall not be separated from the blessing or the blesser. Do you receive that? You sure? Come and lead us in our time. This is the last Sunday of the month, the last Sunday of the year, and it's a glorious one. On Wednesday, we are going to be gathered here for the last day of this year, and we will step into the new year as people blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Don't miss it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
A good day, everyone. Those of you who are seated, please stretch your hands towards the children and let us pray. You can actually rise because you sat for like 5 minutes already. So after a while, you're going to be sitting for an hour plus for the service. So praise the Lord. Let us pray. Even if you don't have children, there are many children in the world. So stretch your hands as we pray. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day that you've given to us. We are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you for all our biological children, our spiritual children, our partners, extended families, and friends, even our enemies. We lift everyone before you. People from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth every decade of life, we commit every one of us into your hand. Touch every life. Father, as the year is wrapping up, Lord, may they not lose their life. May their life continue with joy, with strength, with health, with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth. And Lord, also with repentance and renewal and turning to the Lord. Let the weak become strong. Let the poor become rich. Let those who are destitute find hope. In the mighty name of Jesus, those who have self-destructive natures, set them free. Set them free from every captivity of the enemy. Bring them to your holy light. Bring them to your holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We thank you for every life. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Strengthen them, Lord, that the race ahead, they will finish strong. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, over every life this morning. We soak everyone with the precious blood of Jesus. Those that are sick in hospital, be healed, be restored, be made whole. And those that are sick at home, be healed, be restored, be made whole. And those that are recovering, we give you thanks for wholeness restored to every family. Restore family, Lord. Bring peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, children, see you later. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into the service. We welcome your holy presence, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our heart, into our homes, into our church, into our families, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for a wonderful service we're going to have. All right, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 104.
Psalm 104, let us read. It's a long, it's not too long, but long. Yeah, 35 verses, so catch up. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels, spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire. Somebody shout hallelujah. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever, that covers it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, and they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why flood can never take you out. You just need to know the God you serve. At his rebuke, they go back. They all have their homes. Water has its home. You have your home. The birds have their home. Everything have their place. Send them to where they belong. Amen. Demons have their place. Send them to where they belong. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thou hast, verse 9, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Somebody shout hallelujah. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watered the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. If you are a farmer, you can always take that. Whenever there is drought, you speak this and say, this is what God has said. And your land, of all places, will respond with the best. Somebody shout hallelujah. Every answer and every solution you need is in the word of God. It's your job to find them out and make use of them. Somebody shout hallelujah. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Somebody shout hallelujah. Each time you eat food, your heart ought not to be weak, it ought to be stronger. Somebody say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say a big amen. Bread strengthens your heart. As you eat food, they strengthen you. They don't weaken you. Your food shall never hurt you. Your food shall bring healing and blessing and health to your body. Say a big amen. For he shall bless your water and bread and remove sickness and disease from you. That's the word of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he had planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stock, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the coonies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Somebody shout hallelujah. The lions, the young ones, they seek God for their meat. Why they are growling? They are saying, God, meat, meat. What about us? Who do you seek to provide for you? May you seek God. If lions cannot have more sense than you, may the wisdom of God come upon every one of us. Amen. 22, the sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Somebody shout hallelujah. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Somebody say, I receive the riches that God has put in the earth. Locate me. Say amen. 25. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. So Leviathan can be a dragon. They don't exist anymore. Dinosaurs, they don't exist anymore. And crocodile is the closest. So creatures with those type of skin. So that breathes fire. Crocodiles doesn't breathe fire. So Leviathan breathes fire because Job tells us. They go their ship. God made Leviathan to play therein, not to eat you or swallow your riches. So anytime things have come to devour you, you can speak to them, go to your place, go do your job over there, not here. Say amen. Verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them thy garden, thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. May your breath continue to be on in 2026, in the mighty name of Jesus. Do not take your breath for granted. It is God that gives it to you. May your breath continue to exist till you are satisfied. Say amen. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. 31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. Say amen. Are you the work of God? May he rejoice over you. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you come to church or at home, when we are singing praise, open up your mouth and sing unto the Lord while you have breath and while you are alive. 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Can everybody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Rise with me. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We are grateful and we are thankful. You have taken care of every need that we have. You have touched our lives. You have brought us to a wealthy place. We give you praise, O God. You care for every detail. Everything you have made have its place. Father, continue to touch us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all you have done for us. This year you have been so good. You've given us life. You've given us time to say thank you. You've given us family. You've given us friends. You've given us shelter. You've given us food. You've given us careers and jobs. You've given us divine health. Lord, we are thankful and we are grateful. Are you thankful this morning? Open up your mouth and tell him thank you. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful. We are thankful. We are thankful. So many things. We don't have so many hours in a day to say thank you, but we are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A zillion thank you to you. We give you praise. You have saved us from destruction. You saved our families. You protected us. In our going out and our coming in, you took care of us. Father, you fed us. You clothed us. You gave us life. You gave us breath. We are forever thankful, forever grateful. Be magnified, O God. be glorified forever and ever. We thank you for giving us water. We have water to drink. You've given us bread. We have food to eat. You've given us peace. We live in a peaceful nation. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, O God. In our going out and our coming in, you've watched over us. We have many reasons to give thanks. Many obstacles came, but we came, we overcome every one of them. We ran over them, and we have a testimony. Father, we give you praise. All the troops of the enemy, you made us to outrun them. Father, we give you praise. Sickness and disease, pain and sorrow could not take us out, but you've given us joy everlasting. Can you give him thanks this morning? Can you praise him? Can you lift him up? Can you be grateful to him so that your next step will be a step into glory? You have prepared a place of glory for us, a place of joy, a place of peace. Lord, we are entering a new realm, a new dimension. The things that have troubled our mind, troubled our peace, you have erased all of them from us. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. The enemy has been brutal, but you have been great. Oh, the greater one lives in us. Greater is he who lives in us than he that lives in the world. Father, we have victory. Victory is our song. Instead of sorrow, we are singing the song of victory. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah to the King of Glory. Hallelujah to the King of Glory. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this brand new year we are about to get into. You are preparing our hearts. Let every garment of heaviness, every garment of pain, every garment of sickness and disease, every garment of lack and poverty, shame and sorrow, every garment of distress, let all of them fall off your people, fall off every member of our family. We drop those dirty garments. We shake them into the fire. Let the fire of God consume all of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, you have made us a flaming fire, flaming spirit. Father, we thank you, God, that your spirit is within us and is burning. It's burning bright. Your light is within us and is shining bright. Brighter, brighter, and brighter. Father, we give you praise. Father, we now pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls, prosperity to her palaces, strength to your people, Lord. Let all Israel be saved according to your word. All Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, your firstborn. Israel, carved in the palm of your hands. Israel, that you have made a covenant with. In your seed, Abraham, shall you bless. You have blessed the seeds of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember your everlasting covenant. Let it be made manifest in all our lives. As you have blessed them, out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So shall Israel be blessed. So shall Canada be blessed. So shall Nigeria be blessed. So shall United States of America be blessed. So shall Somalia be blessed. So shall Senegal be blessed. So shall South Africa be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless all the islands of the seas. Bless the first nations of the earth. Bless your people. Where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, save that nation. Touch your people. Put godly leaders. Remove wicked leaders. For when the righteous lead, the people rejoice. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach. Save our nations. Save our nations. And draw your people back to you. Father, we continue to pray for revival. Revive your people, every home that lives in Winnipeg, every home that lives in any city where anyone's hearing the sound of my voice. Visit those homes. Draw the people to the house of God, that they will hear the word of the Lord. How can they be saved except somebody preach to them? May they come to hear the preaching word. May they be saved. May they turn to you, Lord. May they draw to you, O God, and turn their lives to you, them and their household. Where things are impossible, begin to bring possibility to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, be in the service this morning. Heal your people, transform them. touch every life. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, with healing, deliverance, wholeness, resurrection power, testimonies upon testimonies to say, God, you are good. We declare all those that are sick, we've said it before, we say, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Wherever you are now, may the hand of the Lord visit you, touch you, strengthen you, lift you up, and give strength to your entire body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated also.
In that sense, God is saying to you and I, don't waste the capacity that I give to you. What do you want to accomplish? What do you sense in your spirit that I'm assigning you to do? Go do it. Go do it. You will not fail. I remember many years ago I preached a message. I don't give titles to messages, but this particular time I did. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? You need to unshackle yourself. We need to unshackle ourselves from every kind of limitation and dream big, because you know that his promise is this: you will never be ashamed. Be ashamed. It's because of shame that many times we don't try. What if I failed? What would people say? They're going to say whatever it is they're going to say. And even when you succeed, they might not be happy about it. So just do what you got to do. Amen? I didn't ask Kristen to get me that video clip I wanted to show to you last week. But maybe, just maybe, she might have it. Do you have it? The one with the little kid? You don't have it. Ah. Okay. I'll tell you the story about this little kid. 3 years old. Pre-AI manipulations. You know, nowadays you have AI manipulations, you know, babies running, jumping and running out of the hospital or complaining about their mother or whatever. Funny stuff. But this is pre-AI, so this is legit. A three-year-old counseling adults to just do it. Stop procrastinating. Tomorrow. That's what you said yesterday. That tomorrow is here. Just do it. And for every one of us, the challenge is this. Are you willing to take the risk of just doing it? That good thing that you've been planning and dreaming of for years, just do it. There's this nice commercial on television. This guy talking about all the renovations he was going to be doing. And he's been talking about this. Oh, this year we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it was a banking commercial. And the banker comes and says, hey, we know how you can do it. Oh, that's how. Yeah. Whatever it is that is keeping you from doing what you need to do, my prayer for you, for me, is this, that God will join the dots and let the figure form before you. Do you receive that? Because sometimes the reason we don't do stuff is because we don't see how it connects. Am I going to this? Am I going to that? One of the most freeing statements the Lord spoke into my spirit decades ago. It's a very simple statement. He said, it is easier to steer a moving vehicle than one that is stationary. So simple. But it was so freeing. If you just stay in here and I want to turn this steering, it's going to be hard. But once you start moving, it's just a tap. And the faster you go, the easier. You turn too hard, like you're driving slow, you're off the track. And it's easier for God to manage and direct your life if you start moving. I don't know who that is for, but I have to say to you, it's time to start moving. Do that which God has birthed in your spirit to do. Just do it. Your answer is in your obedience. The solutions manifest as you follow the directives of God. I got here by moving. I would have still been in Nigeria. I would have done well in Nigeria. But that's not where God wanted me. I was in the States, doing well, but that's not where God wanted me. I remember the day, I don't know why the Lord is leading me this way right now, but I'm just going to go as He directs. I was in San Bernardino sometime in the afternoon. I went to the what you might call here the family room. I knelt down, resting my arms on an ottoman, when God, by His Spirit, caught me up. By His Spirit. And I saw myself in a dry, arid wilderness. And it was blowing all over. I saw tumbleweeds blowing down. And I'm watching this. And I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, can there be life here? It reminded me about the Ezekiel 37 passage. God asked Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones a question, and I responded back in King James language. I said, thou knowest. And he said, say, let there be life. So I said, let there be life. And I was in a city. I saw the bus running, everything happening around me. And the vision cleared away. I said, wow, that was strange. What was that? About 2 weeks later, the Lord started to speak to me about coming to Canada. I said, Lord, I am not going to Canada. Why don't you want to go to Canada? I said, there are igloos there. It's
cold. There are igloos. Till this day, I've been here 40-something years. I've not seen one igloo yet. So don't just believe everything you read. He said, I want you in Canada. I said, I'm not going. I'm telling you, I want you in Canada. I said, Lord, I said, I'm not going to Canada. But I want you in Canada. So I said to the Lord, you want me in Canada? I'm supposed to be going back to Nigeria in 2 weeks. If you want me in Canada, this is like 1980, late November. If you want me in Canada, then you have to find me a school in Canada that I can go to, because I have no other way of getting into that country other than by being a student. I said, okay. I said, you got 2 weeks. If you don't get me a school in 2 weeks and I get all the particulars in 2 weeks, then I'm not going to Canada. How many of you know when you dare God on any issue, you lose every time? This was pre-emails, pre-internet, pre-all of whatever. I didn't even know, you know, what FedEx or DHL or UPS did. I knew nothing about that stuff. So he said to me, he said, you remember you applied to go to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago? I said, yeah. That's how much I knew about cold. I was applying to go to Moody Bible Institute, which is just maybe just as cold as Canada, in Chicago. He said, they responded to you, right? I said, yes. He says, where the letter they sent to you? So I went looking for the letter. I had seen the front page, read the part where it said to me that they didn't have room for me. They were full. In other words, we reject your application. So I brought it. I said, what about this? Read it. I read, and it said that even though they'd rejected my application, there were other schools I could apply to. And I turned the back of that sheet, and there were listed there 5 schools from Canada and some schools from the U.S. And I sent a letter to all 5 schools. One of them responded back. It was called the Winnipeg Bible College and Seminary. Sent the application. I filled the application. I put it in the mail and sent it back. They responded back, accepted my application, and asked me for payment, for down payment. I sent the money to them. They responded back. Now, remember, I had 2 weeks. Are we together so far? Even today, if you tried that same stunt today, your mail will not go that fast and come back. I had 4 days plus to spare. The mail had gone there and back, gone and back, gone and back, with regular mail. Today, if I try to send a mail from here to Toronto, it will arrive there 2 days or 3 days. Hello? I had my form I-20, which gives me footing to apply for a student visa. So I went back to Nigeria, applied for visa for myself, applied for a visa for my wife. And on May the 1st of 1981, we landed here in Canada. But I started talking to you about the vision. In 85, I believe it was, my son was 3 years, going to 4. He's in the back seat. God had instructed us to start a church. And he was going to a Bible study at their house. Had Sister Esmeralda seated in the passenger seat. I'm driving down this street called Pipeline here in Winnipeg. My son in his car seat is pointing to an open field and he's saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Jesus Castle, Jesus Castle." This kid talking about. Sister Esme and I are looking at this open field. What's this kid talking about? He go to the Bible study, had a great Bible study, came back. A few days later, I'm driving down Pipeline and boom, I'm back into that vision in San Bernardino. I look. Those are the buildings I saw. That's the bus stop I saw. That's the bus I saw. This is where God brought me by His Spirit to in 1980. And as I'm looking at this, I say, wow. Amazing. Interesting. About 2 weeks later, I'm coming down that same street. And I'm looking, I'm back again into that vision. And I look, and the apartment I was looking at had on it Negev Apartments. Negev. That's a wilderness in Israel. And when God spoke to thee about starting a church, I was visiting them and another couple in the co-op, Seven Oaks Cooperative. And he says to me, "I want you to start a church here." I said, "No, we're not doing that." "Why don't you want to start a church here?" "Number one, I like where I am. The church that I'm pastoring, which was just down Church Avenue, this same Church Avenue, and Mackenzie, called Albright Memorial, I did not apply to be a pastor there. The pastor called me and said their board or council had voted. I don't even attend the church. Once in a while, I attend that place. They voted to make me their pastor of evangelism and visitation. And they said, and you cannot say no." So now God is asking me, I was just pastoring there for a year. God has asked me to start a church. I said, "I'm not a person who practice disloyalty. I'm a loyal person. I like where I am. So I want to start a church here. I said, Lord, I'm not starting a church. But I'm asking you to start one. I can't. Why can't you? And I had this smart idea. I said to God, it is a very Jewish area. He said, oh, where did the church start from? I said, Jerusalem. And he said, can you get more Jewish than Jerusalem? Look at it. I can't win any argument. What is the point of this? If you're listening, you must have been hearing, Pastor, you were very disobedient. Always arguing with God. I've come a long way. What you see today was not always like this. Now the argument is gone. Because I know God is always right. There's something he's asking me to do right now, and I'm thinking, why are you asking me this? But I know I must. Because I know this much. The blessing is in your obedience. If you try to rationalize the things of God, you will always lose. You just need to just rest in His wisdom and trust Him. Because He is faithful. He will never lead you astray. Let me say that again. God will never lead you astray. So trust Him. Trust Him not because other people are trusting Him. Trust Him because you choose to trust Him. Your relationship with God is not based on what other people do or don't do. It helps if you have good examples. But sometimes the example that you see before you may go off. That's why you need to know God for yourself. Have a personal relationship with God for yourself. That is not controlled by anything else but your total surrender. Somebody listening? So ultimately, I got here. The only school that responded to me was Winnipeg Bible College. Of all the five, nobody else wrote. Maybe they wrote after I left. But the one he wanted me at was the one that was here, right here in Winnipeg. You may ask me this question. Why that particular place and why did your son see a castle? Please listen up. if I were to take you to that particular spot right now, I don't think I will miss the particular spot I was standing in that vision. Well, let me stretch it and say by 2 meters. The chances are I will walk looking at the angle and position myself and say, this is where I was. After we started the church, I knew where the church was supposed to be. Right there by the corner of Atsum and Pipeline. That's where my son was saying, Daddy, Daddy, Jesus Castle. So, I had church members and we're going to do a drive through to possess that particular spot. And as we're driving, as I am driving, I see the building. I saw it. Just as much as I can see you physically, I saw it. In this open field, I saw the building. And all of a sudden, it's like it just faded away. I said, that's interesting. But anyhow, I was pursuing it because that particular piece of property, all of a sudden, the city wanted it to be developed. So I went, no dime, no money in my pocket. I'm trying to get that property. There was a development company. I don't think they're around anymore. They finally developed that particular property. I lost it. I said, God, I saw this place. How is it that I lost it? Why is the church building not there? Even my son saw Jesus Castle, because the only way he could have seen something there was through the eyes of the Spirit. Why is it not there? That's when the Lord taught me that there are two things. First thing is you speak. Please listen. When you speak, things come to place. But then you have to do the second thing. The word is found in Psalm 33. He commands and it gets established. He said, not only did I speak the world into place, I commanded it to be established. He said, son, you did not speak the word of command. That's why. So, my question then is, okay, if you knew I needed to do this, why didn't you tell me about it before now? He said, you wouldn't have learned the lesson. He said, some things you will not learn until you failed. Let me say that again. There are some things you will not learn until you have failed. Failure is not a bad thing if you learn from it. If you fail and you don't learn anything, then you've really failed. The light bulb did not come to existence without failure. He failed at least, I think, about 99 times trying to generate the necessary filaments and whatever else to have the light bulb. And he said, of all of those 99 times, I did not fail. I just know what not to do next time. You must stay positive and be daring. You're looking at 2025 and thinking about all the things that you've not accomplished yet. There's still a few days left. Every step you take in the right direction gets you closer to your destination. If you take steps in the wrong direction, you're going further and further away from your destination. Except if you're going east or west, then you might end up at your destination someday, somehow. But I challenge you today to just follow the direction of the Lord. Your disobedience yesterday was yesterday. Today, choose to obey. The Lord Jesus Christ talks about two sons. The father says to the first one, says, I want you to go do such and such. And that one said, no, I'm not going to do it. So he goes to the second one and says, I'd like you to do this. And the other one says, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Thank you, Dad. I'll do it. You know I'll do it. Doesn't do it. The first one who said, no, I'm not going to do it, goes and does it. And the Lord Jesus Christ asks a question, which of the two obeyed or honored their father? The answer was the one that did it. But the one that did it was the one who started out saying no. Yesterday you said no. You can still change your mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that was for somebody. I don't know who that was for. What was for somebody? I want to set us up with this part of the message for the New Year's Eve service. And I encourage you as best as I can to please not miss the gathering New Year's Eve. I want to address the subject of the irreversible blessing of the Lord. We've been talking about the blessings of the Lord. And we gave you one of these a few weeks back. It was a message, part of the last message that our son Paul Ame presented to us, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go back to that message. I want you to go through each of those blessings and let it be established. So this is the commanded aspect. So it's established inside every one of us. Amen? In Numbers 23, verse 18, talks about how Balaam took up a parable and says to Balak, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor." Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he spoken, had he said, and shall he not do it? If God says something, is he not going to do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God spoke, he's going to do it. And he's going to make it good. This is something that you and I must have settled in our spirit. God is not a man. God is not a man. Man can say things and circumstances can come and twist whatever it is that the man said or make it impossible for them to do whatever it is that they said they want to do. But that's not God. God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't tell you that he's going to do something and not do it. And he's not a son of a man that he should repent, change his mind. Oh, I made a mistake for making you that promise. Because God is a God who sees past, present, and future. It's all bare before him. It's all now to him. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That which he said, that which he spoke, shall he not make it good? And the answer simply is this: yes, he's not a man that will lie. Nor is he the son of man that should repent. If he said it, he shall do it. If he's spoken it, he shall make it good. Because his word, he holds his word above all his names. The word of God says. He holds his word above all his names. His name is glorious. His name is amazing. But his name is just as good as his word. If his word is not good, his name is toast. Plain simple. And the point is this: if God has made you a promise, hold on to it. You don't know why it's not happening yet, but delays do not stop the manifestation of the will and purpose of God for your life. Period. The enemy can bring delays, but the word of God is going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. He will make it good. Somebody say, God will make his word, his promise to me good. Hallelujah. I don't care how long it takes. He'll make it good. It's guaranteed. Now verse 20 says, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless." I have received what? Commandment to bless. And he hath what? Blessed. And I cannot reverse it. So the blessing of God, spoken and declared, is irreversible. Praise God. It's like the law of the Medes and the Persians. When the king writes something down, that's it. It cannot be reversed. It cannot be erased. It cannot be eradicated. It is what it is. It has to be superseded by a greater law. But the law, the promise that was given, is the promise. It's irreversible. Do you receive that? God's blessing on your life is irreversible. When you go into a plane and you fly, you're exercising the law of lift. But the law of lift does not eradicate the law of gravity. If you stop operating by the law of lift, the other law of gravity becomes operational. Hello? Okay. If you stop operating by the laws of faith and the grace of God, then the laws of sin take hold. Is somebody listening? You cannot afford to live by the flesh in carnality when you have started the walk of faith. There are two laws: the law of sin and death, the law of faith and life. When you exercise the laws of faith, you subdue the laws of sin and death, because you're operating by another law. And this particular law, you have to continue with, whether you are taking off, staying up, or landing. Because if you don't land, exercising the laws of lift, still exercising it, you're going to bang, and your plane and you are finished. Hello? So once you exercise the law of the blessing, stay in the laws of the blessing, because when you stop operating by the laws of the blessing, the laws of the curse kick in. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Are you understanding? The devil doesn't have to do anything. And the devil cannot do anything when you are exercising the laws of faith, the laws of life in Christ Jesus. He cannot. But when you become double-minded, then the pull of the laws of sin and death start dragging you. And then you are in a battle. You become a yo-yo. If you don't want to struggle in your walk of faith, then stay in faith. Do we understand? Stay in faith. You are either going to operate as being hurt, for warmth, cold, for refreshing. But if you're in between, God says, I'll spit you out. I'll spit you out. God must never have the opportunity to spit. Because there's no dignity in spitting. What causes the hot water to be hot and the cold water to be cold? That narrative comes from two sources. There are two cities. That had hot springs. One had a hot spring and the other one had very cold water. And this particular city didn't have much water. And so it had whatever water it was getting from those two sources. The one that is cold threw the distance from where it was to where this other city and the triangle was. That water got warmer and warmer as it was coming. And the one that was hot was getting colder and colder as it was coming. Now the idea that God is establishing is this. As long as the source was close to, that water stayed hot. As long as the source was close to the cold spring, the water was cold. So it was your distance away from the source that determined whether you were hot or cold. So the farther you were away from the source, the more lukewarm you were. The question I must ask myself is this. As we're wrapping up 2025, what is your decision about your proximity relationally with God and the acts of obedience? That's a question I need to ask myself. That's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you choosing to be close to God relationally? Or are you going to be playing hooky with God? Visiting whenever it is you think you should. Giving whenever you think you should. Praying whenever you think you should. And those shields are far apart from the source. Nobody can determine your proximity or closeness to God but you. It's a personal decision. Your husband cannot make that decision for you, neither can your wife, nor your parents, nor your children, nor your friends. It's a personal decision. If you give the power of that decision to anybody else, then you will be the tail that is wagging the dog, or vice versa. You got to make the decision yourself. what kind of a relationship am I going to have with God? Yes, the blessing is irreversible. It's irreversible. Totally irreversible. When God blesses, the blessing comes and abides. However, the manifestation and the benefits and the impact of that blessing is directly proportional to your connectivity to Him. Let me put it this way. Now it's winter, so you will have to use your imagination. You would have anyway. You have a tap outside your house, and you have a hose outside your house. And that hose is supposed to get you water so you can water your plants. Amen? Okay. Number one scenario. You've got this hose, and the hose is close to the tap, but it's not connected. How good is that hose? It's useless. In itself, it's useful, but it's not fulfilling its purpose, even though it is close. Yeah? Okay. I take that hose and I put it on top of the spout. It's resting on the spout. I turn on the water. The water is running, but the hose is not connected. It's going to work good, right? No? Okay. But it's close. Okay. That tap is closed. I now connect it. I hook it up. But I don't open the tap. It's going to run water, right? No? So even when I have connected it, without opening the tap, it does not run. Is there water in that connection? There's water. That's the blessing. It's there. It's always been there. But now when I open it, all of a sudden, watch this, the hose becomes the extension of the blessing. That tap, when I open it without the hose, will pour water right at that particular spot. But if I want it to go over there and move around, then I have to connect it. I have to open it, and then it flows. Now, God doesn't just want you to have the blessing to yourself. He wants you to be the extension of the blessing going everywhere. The commanded blessing. Hear the Lord. He's talking about the sower of seeds. And he says, a sower goes out to sow seeds, and he scatters the seed. Some fell on the hard ground, some fell amongst rocks, and some fell amongst thorns, and some fell on a good tilled soil. Each of those soils produce differently. The first one, the birds of the air came and picked up the seed. Second one didn't have enough soil, so it grew real quick, but produced nothing. Third one produced fruit, but the fruit did not come into fruition because it got choked. Only the good soil that had been tilled produced. What's the problem? Was the problem the seed? The problem was the soil. Can the thorn-infested soil be changed? Can the rocky soil be changed? Can the pathway be changed? All of those soils can be changed. And what God is saying to you and I is, just like the carol goes, His blessings flow far as the curse is found. That we do not just think about me, myself, and I, and how I'm going to be blessed, but I must think, I have to carry this change past me to other soils so that everyone participates in the blessing. Somebody shout hallelujah. That is your calling. That is my calling. That we're not living life just for ourselves, but are we paying it forward? That I'm not just praying for me, I'm praying for you. That I'm not just believing for me, but I'm believing for you. That we stand together as God's people and recognize that we are here not just for ourselves, but for each other. Did Jesus die for himself? No. He died to bring us in. I wrap up this morning with this thought. The Lord asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They say that you're Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. He says, "Okay. But who do you say that I am?" See, it always comes to the personal aspect. And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father." And on the basis of this truth that you now know, I am going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail over that church. Please hear this. When I think about that statement, "Thou the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon this truth I'm going to build my church," I just thought, he just had a great answer, "Thou art the Christ." Until one day, the Lord said, "You're not getting the point, are you?" I said, "What point am I not getting?" He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to build my church on the basis of this." He says, "You still don't get the point." I said, "What point am I not getting?" He said, "The Christ, that's the point you're not getting." I said, "But I'm saying exactly what you're saying, the Christ. What do you mean I'm not getting?" He said, "What's the Christ?" I said, "The Christ, that's the Messiah. That's the anointed one." Okay. What did the Christ come to do? He came to die. He came to serve. Okay. Do you get the point now? I said, what point? What point am I supposed to get? The point of I build my church on the basis of people who are not afraid of dying and people who are willing to serve. That's the church the gates of hell will never prevail over. I said, look at this. That's right. They were not afraid of death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the very fact that they were not afraid of death. He said, that's my church. And every one of us, every single one of us, must come to that place where we are not afraid of anything, because this world is a temporal world. This is temporary. And be willing to serve. Change every soil. Go everywhere. Touch every life. It may cost you everything. But what is that compared to what he gave? And here we are. God wants $10 from us. We start counting pennies. Oh, I think I'm giving too much. Give your head a good shake. And know there is so much more. I should be asking God, so bless me to make me a blessing. God, give me the capacity to impact lives locally and globally. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is the last Sunday of the month. It is our mission Sunday. We are going to give in honor of God in our regular giving. But we will also give something for missions. This new year, it's going to be a mission intensive year. We're going to be doing crusades in so many nations. And it is one thing to go and preach to hundreds and thousands of people, have stadiums filled or arenas filled with people crying out for God. But we don't want to only give them the preaching of the word, the times when we have to do much more than that. This year, again, we will be in the nation of Pakistan. The last time we were there, thousands and thousands of people came to the Lord. Every month, we're reaching millions of people around the globe. Every month. Even tomorrow, we'll be preaching to about 182 nations one shot. Hindu nations, Muslim nations, all kinds of places. We're penetrating and lives have been changed. We are getting, buying people out of slavery. We are starting businesses for people that we got out of slavery because they've been there for 40, 50 years, some of them. The last time I was there, I sat down and negotiated and paid. Got families out, packed all of their loads out. Not one, not two, not three, many. Remember one of the times we actually bought a vehicle to start a business. I don't know if I showed you pictures of those. I did, right? Yeah. We'll do the same thing again this year. And when we go to places where the gospel has not penetrated. It's afterwards I find out. They take me to the most difficult places where the highest level of witchcraft and occultism take place. And God breaks through over there and I say, man of God, you know where we took you to? I say, well, where? Oh, that place? Nobody goes there. Why did you take me there? Well, you're a preacher, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Incredible things. I'm sure I must have told you, I will never forget this miracle. In this particular last crusade we were at. Crusade was supposed to take place on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, this heavy storm comes in. We are 2 hours away, but we're feeling this storm over here. And all of a sudden, my host comes and he says, we cannot have the crusade today. I said, why not? Because the ground is flooded. I said, what do you mean it's flooded? He said, I sent you the video. So I looked, sure enough, the place is flooded. Equipment blown off the stages, messed up everything. He said, we can't have the crusade. I said, but the Lord didn't tell me we are not having a crusade today. He would have told me if not having one. I said, well, sorry. We have to move the crusade. So I said, okay, you go do what you need to do. He calls the police department to see if they can change the permit. They said, absolutely not. He calls the people that were carrying, because we have to rent vans or buses to move people to the grounds. And each van or bus is $100 US. And we're paid. Those people said, if you don't take people today, your money is gone. So he comes back and says, I guess the crusade has to take place. I said, I told you. So anyway, we're heading down there to the crusade grounds. We go halfway and we stop at a gas station. And they move me from one vehicle to the other. And the vehicle they move me from turns around and he said, heading back home, I said, what's going on? Why are they going back? He said, there are people there with guns. And they are throwing stones at people. I said, let's go. So we kept on going. The road is flooded. We get off of the vehicle and step into the ground. And guess what? The ground is bone dry. Just 4 hours after, the place is bone dry, like not a drop. But I saw it. It was flooded. God dried up the ground.
On the other side of the wall is water. Where we are, dry ground. I will never, ever forget that miracle. I know I've seen miracles, but that one was a shocker. What God did you do to dry this place up? People are sitting on the ground, not on mud. Dry ground. 3-4 hours before, it was flooded. God dried it. You're going to tell me there's no God? Too late. So today we are going to honor God. We are going for missions. We're going into Africa. We're going into Europe. We're going into Asia. Amen? We're going into some countries, actually. In a few days, we're going into a particular country I don't want to mention right now. Because I didn't get my visa in my hand yet. But we're going in. And the gospel is going to penetrate into lives. It doesn't have to be 20,000 people. It might just be meeting one person, getting salvation into them, and they become a Billy Graham. Amen? You don't know what God is going to do, as God is going to do it, but we need to invest for the preaching of the gospel and for the impartation of lives. Amen? So let us come. Let us honor God with our giving. Hallelujah. Mark the part that you give into missions under the missions aspect so that it can be separated appropriately. And please don't take off without receiving a gift from Mom and I at the door before you leave today. I'm going to ask Mama to close in prayer for us, and then we're going to greet those that we need to greet. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, we're going to do communion. I forgot about that.
Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is his body." He has not gone to the cross yet, but his body was broken for us. So the work was finished before the physical manifestation. The word of God says, before the foundations of the earth was made, that Christ died for us. So God knew we were going to blow it, but he provided a way out. If your body is broken today, your marriage is broken, your children are broken, your finance is broken, whatever is broken, you can ask God to fix it because he paid for it. Mm-hmm. When something is paid for you and is given to you, it is yours.
Amen.
May you take the perfect exchange.
Amen.
May you receive wholeness.
Amen.
Somebody say, I receive wholeness.
I receive wholeness.
For every area of my life.
Every area of my life.
And my family.
And my family.
If you believe so, say amen.
Amen.
Take and eat.
Word of God says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they did not shrink back from death, they were not afraid. Today, as we take of this blood, may that grace, that capacity, that ability of God be established in every one of us. That will become totally sold out to the purposes of God. Surrendered so that we can fulfill His divine mandate and calling upon our lives. May this precious blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness, but may it establish within us, as a commanded blessing, the wonderful grace to operate as sons and daughters of the Most High God with the blood of divinity flowing in and through us, healing us of every ailment, every disease, every weakness, every curse eradicated in Jesus' mighty name. Take and drink. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mama is going to pray the closing prayer, and then we're going to greet those that we need to greet.
Let us pray. Lift your hands towards God. Father, we thank you for the holy word we have received. We thank you, God, that that word is working in every one of our lives.
Amen.
Your commanded blessing cannot be reversed.
That's right.
You have blessed us in this city and in this country.
Yes.
You've blessed our household.
Yes, Father.
You've blessed us with the blessings of heaven.
Yes, Father.
The blessings of earth.
Amen.
We receive all the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord.
You've blessed us with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We receive all that is given to us.
Amen.
Lord, as we go home today, we will not go leave here empty.
No.
We carry the commanded blessing with us.
Amen.
It goes before and behind us.
Amen.
It pursues us and overtakes us.
Amen.
It brings goodness to our lives.
Amen.
It brings divine health.
Amen.
It brings divine peace.
Amen.
It brings divine joy.
Amen.
It brings all that is good and holy.
Yes.
May our year be crowned with goodness of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just be seated for a quick moment. We'll say thanks to those who have faithfully joined us and partnered with us through 2025. Those of you on YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, and other platforms. We celebrate the goodness of God in your lives, and we look forward to seeing you again this evening. And then for the last service of this month on Wednesday the 31st at 9 p.m. Central, join us for the crossover service together. God bless you and continue to honor God. Receive the blessings of the Lord and be a blessing. Amen. Praise God.